Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah. I'm trying out some new headsets. And it's really weird because they're like really thick, soundproof, so I can't hear myself very well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do I sound
You
okay?
sounds fine on my end.
All right.
Do you like them so far?
I like them, except I had the cheapies before, and they were, these ones are like huge earmuffs,
Yeah.
so it's like I can't hear myself as well. I feel I'm very muted, whereas before I could hear myself clearly.
And you're not going to be able to hear Barb now.
Oh, not at all. I told her, I said these are very muted, like they're almost like the ones that, like, if you wanted to go mowing your lawn and you
Yeah.
didn't want to hear the motor, you could put them on your ears and almost not hear anything.
I need a pair like that so I can like listen to music or a podcast or something.
Yeah. It's
I
pretty.
just have to, when I'm mowing, even for the music, I feel like I just have to turn it up too high and it bothers my ears.
Oh, yeah. I'm okay with music. I turn it up and I'm able to hear the music over the mower. I can't do a podcast though.
Yeah, you won't be able to understand
Yeah,
anything.
that's right.
So how's it going?
Good.
It's been a little bit. Be last time I joined, I had my power outage.
You had internet problems.
It was the house though. Like not everywhere in the house, but it was all these areas in the house that just kept on losing power. The power would go on and go back off, go on and go back off,
Yeah.
over and over again. You did the, what it ended up being is that the actual line running into the outside box
Yeah.
was no longer sealed properly, and water was getting in there, and it was going all along the line into the circuit breaker box in the basement, and it was just triggering it and making it turn off over and over again.
Ah.
So they got that all fixed.
Can you actually, you remember when I had you re-plug in a USB again? Can
Yeah, you want
you
me to
do
do that?
that? Yeah.
Hang on. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
All right, hang on. I gotta fix my speakers.
That's better.
My speakers switched to the computer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was get you were talking and I could hear you clearly, but every time there was like static, like crackling.
Yeah, which has happened before.
Yeah, it's weird.
All right, hang on, because you're very distant just because it's coming from the computer, not my
Oh
earphones.
yeah. You there?
I'm still here. I'm trying to. It's not letting me switch the things. Oh, here we
Oh.
go. Hang on. Maybe I found it. Hello?
I'm here.
Okay, yep. It's all fixed.
All right.
All right,
Yay.
here we
So
go.
you it turned out to be water or moisture was coming into the box.
Yep, yeah, and it was causing havoc. And they also said that because of that, there was a little bit of rust and stuff on the inside, but he really honestly didn't think it needed to be replaced, like any of the stuff in the back, you know,
Yeah.
behind the circuit breaker. So he's like, you could, he's you know, but he's like, I honestly think it's the water, but
Is your
you know,
box inside?
so well, you know, the I don't know if it's the same way where you are, but there's a box on the outside where they can do a meter reading, and then there's the
Yeah.
circuit. Yeah, so that's where the water was. That's where it wasn't sealed, is the box on the outside. But then it ran along the line that whole way into the house where my circuit breaker is. So that's where the issue was. So you know, it was a big difference in price whether or not they're just gonna do some sealing and stuff like that, as opposed to obviously replace something in the circuit breaker. So
Yeah.
we you know, I talked to Stacy and she was real hesitant, but I'm like, let's just try it and hopefully it works and we don't have to spend like over $1,000, and sure enough, it worked. It did a little stutter one other time as it was still like probably drying out.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was fine. It's been fine.
Well,
since,
that's so. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was good news. But yeah, so that was a while ago, couple months ago at least, right? And
yeah.
Then we've had nothing but birthday celebrations and everything else. It's been very, very hectic lately.
Yeah,
but
sounds like
it's pretty
busy.
Much all over now.
Yeah. Well, glad to have you back.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, yesterday one of our kitchen lights burned out, you know, and how we have the fluorescent tubes or whatever they are.
Oh, uh-huh. Yep.
And we went to go get them replaced, and they said, sorry, you can't buy these anymore in the state of Colorado. I'm like, what? And I said, why? And he goes, because they draw too much power.
So,
and I'm like, wow, the state is encouraging everybody to buy electric cars, you know, so gas doesn't pollute the air.
Yeah.
But then they're sucking more energy out of the power. So I don't know. Like, I can't get lights for my kitchen now, but...
Is there a lower energy replacement that they've created? Or
no, I have to go LED, which means I have to have an electrician.
Oh my God,
swap
Mike.
Out all that stuff. Yeah,
it's so irritating.
Yeah, it is. It sucks.
Oh my God, that is horrible.
Yeah, and then I was playing with the sound bar yesterday, and they should be like plug and play. Like,
yep.
Got a new sound bar, but we went Bluetooth, and then I couldn't get the lips to match the voice. Like, it was horrible. And then we went with the, what do you call it? The light emitting diode audio, the LED, and optical. It's the optical thing.
Oh yeah.
Connector.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the volume just was really low. Like, the loudest you can go was like a certain volume that was not good for somebody like me who's deaf.
I'm sorry that you're facing this, but I will tell you, it makes me feel a little bit better that I'm not the only one. We had a sound bar that like I couldn't get to work right and everything
yeah.
else. And I ended up buying, we have a Samsung TV, so I ended up buying a Samsung sound bar, saying, well, this should be great, right?
Yeah.
And we use the one of the HDMI ports is like specifically, I can't remember what it's called. It's a special name for one particular port. You can use it for as a regular HDMI, but
yeah, it's like HDMI A something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So we got the special cord for it and everything, and we use that. And you know, I find that it works for a while, and then suddenly it just can't find it anymore.
Yeah.
And I have to go to Bluetooth, and then the Bluetooth works, and it is synced, so it's okay. But then, like, if for any reason I was fiddling around, the power strip back there died, and so everything lost power. And
yeah.
We got a new power strip, put it back in, and then it reconnects it to the HDMI. Like, when everything's been, like, totally turned off and reset, mm-hmm. it reconnects it. So it's working as intended right now. But like any day, like a day or two, it will just stop finding it, and I'll have to switch to Bluetooth again. I have no idea why it's been like that since I bought it.
Well, we didn't have a Samsung TV. We have an Insignia TV, and it has the built-in Fire TV.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Love the TV, but we had a soundbar, and we said, "Oh, let's get a new one just for the hell of it," we bought a Samsung one, and it won't find it. Like, it just won't.
So you're the same way.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Except the Bluetooth is worse. Like, it's horrible. And it's got, I like watched YouTube videos on trying to sync it, and it just won't.
And that's so annoying.
And then it took me a long time to like get it to recognize it. The TV to recognize the audio cable.
Yeah.
And what I had to do after I watched many videos is unplug the TV for 5 minutes and then unplug the sound system and then plug them both in. And then that part worked.
And then
so,
it finds it?
Yeah, it found it. So the TV, so I can now use the TV controller to control the sound bar.
Yeah.
But I ended up putting the old sound bar back in because it's better.
I don't know why there's so many. It's what you said. It should be just you plug it in and it starts working. That's how it's intended. I don't know why everyone seems to be having so many problems with it. But I've had nothing but issues too. But, you know, as long as I can switch to Bluetooth and it seems okay, that's fine. I'd rather have it work the other way because it really is nice and seamless. You know, you turn on the TV, the sound bar turns on, it puts it to the right, the right video that you want, whether it's like my fire stick or, you know, the Fios or the DVD player.
Yeah.
It senses it and does it. If I don't have it otherwise, then I have to, you know, keep manually switching the inputs and stuff. And
mine didn't have that HDMI port though.
Oh yeah.
On the back of the soundbar, it had three. You can have a USB thing. You have the
optical.
The optical. And that's your only options.
Yeah, this one had the.
Because I saw that as a solution is to use that HDMI audio thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, we could do that, but it doesn't have anything to connect to.
What a pain. It's always something.
Yeah. Technology.
I know.
That's what, I bought these headsets too, and I like them, but man, it's taking forever to get used to just because I can't hear myself. It's so muffled.
Yeah, you have to see it long term if you like it or if you just can't get used to it, you know.
I think I can. I just don't know if I'm shouting because I can't hear myself.
Yeah, no, you sound good right now. You're fine. You're level and everything. So the kids got their black belt yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that
Taekwondo,
on Facebook.
Their black belts.
Yeah, they're gonna kick your ass when they're teenagers.
Are. Yep.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. It's so, you know, 3.5 years or so. That's what it took.
Yeah.
And they're continuing, so they're gonna get their. They're gonna.
Well, you said you said at one point your son didn't want to do it anymore.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. He wanted to just quit. He was out, and then they got selected to be part of a demo team where they will like demonstrate like a whole routine and stuff before a ranking ceremony. Or the intention is like they'll go to schools like, you know, and do a routine or whatever. But so that got them much more into it. But there still are many, many days that if he doesn't like what they're going to teach on that particular day, he gets grumpy and I don't even know why I re-signed up for this.
And your daughter loves it though.
She does less griping for sure. And she said like, yeah, she just wants to keep continuing with it. So she definitely likes it, as a whole more than he does. You know, on certain days, depending on what they're doing, he's very excited, but, I think that overall she likes it more, but, she's probably going to stick with it. I have a feeling he'll probably stick with it for a while because, we kind of told him like, well, you don't have to do that, but you'll have to find something to replace it. If you're not going to just sit at home.
Some extracurricular activity,
right.
Whether it be baseball or whatever.
Exactly. And Allie's like, well, I like this. And she's like, I don't know what else I would want to do. So I'm going to stick with this. Like better the thing you know about than the thing you don't. So
what if your son said, oh, I just want to read comics?
Well, then, you know, I'd be very tempted to say, okay, that's fine.
Yeah. The extracurricular activity of comic collecting.
Exactly. Yeah, but they did really good, so that's it. And in 18 months, it takes 18 months to get their second degree. So at that point, we'll have to decide if they want to renew and keep going or if one or the other want to bow out and do something else.
Yeah.
We're were paid through second degree. So
they're committed.
They're committed. Yes. Yep.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
So how have you been? Have you seen any, gone to see any movies, any of the newer movies?
Just,
I haven't seen anything in the theater.
Just the last one we saw was the Godzilla X Kong.
Oh, how was that?
That was really good. I liked it. I always liked those movies, though. So
yeah, yeah.
I'm not one to judge.
Those are fun.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember what we saw before that. We used to go pretty frequently, but lately we've had stuff to do on Saturdays, and that's when we usually go. So
yeah,
haven't been able to go to the theater much. I watched a lot of Bond films.
I know you have.
I got like 6 more left, but now I'm having to purchase them because.
Oh really?
Yeah, I got to the point where I saw everything I could streaming, and then my friend lent me what he had of the DVDs, and now I'm having to purchase them.
See, it's too bad we don't live close. I could loan you all of mine.
Yeah, that would be nice. That'd be ideal because I don't want to get more physical media. So,
the Daniel Craig ones are kind of one story. So if you are watching that out of order,
yeah, I watched them out of order, and I'm fine.
Okay.
Whereas
the other ones make literally no difference.
So I watched them in. Well, I haven't finished Spectre yet. That's the one I'm in the middle of because I watch them in like 45-minute increments.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm exercising, but let's see, I watched Skyfall first.
I love Skyfall.
Skyfall was my favorite, by the way.
Oh my god, it's definitely
one of the best villains, I think. Like I really liked him as a villain. So you know
who is the villain for that one?
It's the ex-agent that was in that small island. And he kept on doing that story about the rats killing each other.
Yeah.
So I like that guy a lot. Like, he's one of my top villains so far.
Yeah, that.
And Skyfall was the best. So it's weird because they're like in continuity, but not in continuity. Like.
Yeah.
It's almost like. The Daniel Craig was a reboot.
It kind of is, even though Judi Dench stayed on from Pierce Brosnan.
Yes, as Anne.
It still is. It really was a hard reboot. Yeah.
So it's like the interesting things I've noticed is that Q and Moneypenny, especially Moneypenny. Last a long time, like the original Moneypenny. Like she's there. Like I love her because she has the wit and she's always like flirting, but not like with Bonds. Yeah. Yeah. And he like flirts back, but they never do anything.
Right.
I love that banter. I love the original Moneypenny. The new Moneypenny is interesting because she was an agent and then
she's more action oriented.
Shot him.
Yeah.
I love the original Q. The new Q I'm getting used to.
The new Q is fine, but yeah, I used to love that old guy.
I like the old guy. Yeah. And I saw the movie where he actually was an agent. Like he went to go save Bond and he was like in a lot of the movie.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
But is your favorite James Bond then?
Oh, it's Roger Moore by far. But I think it's an age thing. Like I haven't read any books, so I can't compare. Well, I've read comics, but
yeah, I read Casino
I didn't
Royale,
watch James Bond, but a few as a kid. Like I saw Octopussy and
You Do a Kill.
No, I never saw that one. I saw that one recently.
Yeah, Christopher Walken, Grace Jones. That's a very nostalgic one for me because that's probably the first one I ever saw, and it was on HBO or whatever.
And I saw, I think, The Spy Who Loved Me. So, like, it was like, that is James Bond. Like,
Yeah.
You know, that was what I knew.
That was
so
probably my view.
It is
prior to like really watching them over and over again.
Yeah.
I mean, now you know, it's I love Sean Connery. I love Daniel Craig. Those are probably my top two. But then after that, it definitely is Roger Moore.
Well, mine is Roger Moore, Daniel Craig, Timothy Dalton. I like it a lot, but I like him as an actor. Sean Connery's running up the last for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm shocked.
Yeah. I mean, not his.
He created the role in terms of the film.
Movies are. Oh, I like the other Her Majesty's Secret Service guy more than I like Sean Connery.
George Lazenby.
Yeah, Lazenby. So I. Well, the thing I didn't like about the Lazen that film was great.
It
like,
was.
I loved having coat like that. That's one of my top five right there.
And he gets married.
Yeah, to a criminal, which is like I don't get that, but it's weird. It falls into place with Vesper too.
Yep.
Because she was not a good person, even though I think she saved his ass, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
I mean, so she hid stuff from him, just like he hides stuff. But he opened himself up, and that's the only time he did. Well, yep. I guess until the end.
Until yeah.
So
yeah, that was
yeah. Daniel, in terms of quality of movies and just being entertained, I think the Daniel Craig series is the best.
I don't think that you can. I don't think you can argue with that.
But not even comparing like technologies, because that I don't care about that. But I'm just talking about like just flow of film.
No, I totally agree with you.
And storytelling.
Yeah.
Like I haven't seen Thunderball yet, but I've seen Never Say Never, which is the remake.
I was going to say you've kind of seen Thunderball.
And I did like that one. I wasn't crazy about having Vicky Vale or whatever her name is, Kim Basinger.
as
one of the Bond girls. She just, of all of them, she seemed really out of place. Like I
haven't seen that one in so long.
But
it's not in any of the collections because it's, you know, produced by a different company. So.
Well, I saw it. It was an MGM. It was like, where's the lion going? Rawr, you know, like it's not there. And I was like, what's happening? And it seems film was made because of a lawsuit.
That's exactly it. So, yeah, this guy claimed the ownership of some of the characters, and that's actually why they weren't able to use Blofeld for a really, really long time until then in the Daniel Craig era they finally got
but
to
I,
him
but I thought Blofeld was Telly Savalas. Was he not?
He in that movie he was, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. No, it wasn't the lawsuit didn't come through until I think after that movie. And then when Roger Moore, I think it's the beginning of, I don't know if it's Live and Let Die or if it's another one, but in one of them, like he's never named, but he's got, you know, it's a guy in a wheelchair and he's got, I think he had the cat and.
Oh yeah. He has the cat. Like,
I could think of
Dr. Evil, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Because I'm so late to the party. Cause I never cared about spy movies. Like it was my least interested genre. And
yeah.
I sort of, went into it because my attitude towards things has changed a lot. So I was like, you know, I think it's time for me to delve into these films. And I got so into them that I started buying all the comic books. So like
I have so different from the average person that gets older. Like you become more and more accepting of things as you age instead of like the average, you know, person.
Yeah, get off of my lawn.
They get grumpier. And yeah.
That ain't my James Bond. No, I think it is. Like I just watched all those Charles Bronson films and I'm just exploring stuff that I haven't explored before.
Hey, that's cool. That's really cool. I'm glad you're enjoying those.
Die Another Day I love though. That's my favorite so far.
I don't think I like that one.
Love it.
I I gotta
It
look
has
it
the
up just to
voodoo.
push
It has the campiness that.
Wait, do you mean Live and Let Die
Oh yes,
with
that's
Roger
what I
Moore?
mean. Live and
Okay,
Let
yeah.
Die. Yeah,
Yeah,
Live and
Die
Let
Another
Die.
Day is the one. What was one with Pierce Brosnan? It's got Halle Berry. I don't know if you saw
Oh
that
no,
one.
that one is not one of my favorite.
Okay, yeah,
I
I don't
think
like that one.
is Timothy Dalton in Living Daylights.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good one.
I can't remember which one has Sophia, my favorite girl, Sophia, whatever her name is,
Marceau or
the French,
something?
yeah, Marceau.
Yeah.
Which one is that? Because I love her, and
I
she's
want
at.
to. It's a Pierce Brosnan one for sure.
Pierce Brosnan's not my favorite, but
Yeah.
that she's my favorite Bond girl, and she's my favorite villain, because she is the villain, and you don't know that until the
Yes.
very end.
Right. She's
Like,
the one that's calling all the
yeah,
shots.
she was gonna kill M. I mean, she was. It was. I love that movie. She was manipulating that other guy who you thought was the villain.
Yep.
The one guy that had that bullet in his brain that was slowly killing him.
Yeah, that was a good.
Yeah.
I'm looking it up because there's it's hard for me to remember which ones are which.
Well, it's for me too because I've been watching them so many
Yeah.
out of order.
It's either Tomorrow Never Dies or The World Is Not Enough. I'm not sure which. I'm looking them up now. I'll try Tomorrow Never Dies.
The World Is Not Enough, I thought was the gold, the diamond in his face guy, but
I think you're right.
I'm not sure.
I don't see him in Tomorrow Never. I don't see her, rather. Tomorrow Never Dies is the one with Michelle Yeoh. I don't know if you've seen that one yet.
No, I think I still need to see that one.
Okay. And Terry Hatcher's in that one too.
You know which one I like? Yeah, I haven't seen the Terry Hatcher one yet. I gotta watch
The World Is
that.
Not Enough has Sophie.
Okay, so it is The World Is Not Enough.
Yeah, with Denise Richards, Doctor,
In
what's
terms
her
of
name, Christmas.
plot, that's gotta be in my top five. Plus, she's in my top five villains and my top five Bond girls. Yeah.
Doctor Christmas, what was it, Jones or something like that?
Yeah. So
Something ridiculous.
I like that movie a lot. So
You
it's really good one.
yeah, you're doing good. So you can't find these other ones anywhere, huh?
Oh, not streaming. I can buy them on Amazon. I've been buying them, but they're like 14 something a pop. So
That's crazy.
I like wait till I'm done watching. And then see if anything, because they pop up. The weird thing is, this is pretty funny. I started Casino Royale. It was on Amazon
Okay.
streaming. It was the only Bond film on Amazon. So I was watching it, and then I watched it with part of it with Barb because she loves that movie. Like that's her Bond movie is Casino Royale, and was watching it, and I started getting sleepy, and I said, I'm gonna pause it and just finish it up in the morning if you don't mind. I only had like 30 minutes left, right? So I
Oh,
said, oh,
no.
that'll get me through the exercise. The next day it was off. Can you believe that?
That happened to me once with a Friday the 13th movie. I did the same thing. Like, I'm falling asleep. I'll watch the rest tomorrow, and it was
Yeah.
gone.
Well, the thing that I really wish services would do is say, you're watching this, it's going away. Like some kind of
Agreed.
alert, like you better finish it now or it's gone.
I totally
I
agree.
think I would have stayed up that extra 30 minutes. I would have fought through it.
Yeah, because you know you wouldn't be able to watch
Pl
otherwise.
plus, I had, it's the only Bond film I've seen like three times. I haven't
Yeah.
seen multiple watches. I am going to see Octopussy for the second time because that was my first one I saw at the theater.
Oh.
But I didn't see many Bond movies at the theater.
Do you have Max? The
Yeah, that's where I watched the bulk of them.
Yeah, I was gonna say I knew
That
that a
they
lot of
had like
there.
12 films, if
Yeah,
not
I knew they had
more. Yeah.
quite a few of the, like, starting with, like, well, no, they had some Sean Connery too, but knew they had some Roger Moores on there too.
Yeah, I saw all those. That's where I started.
Okay.
And then I went to Pluto for Casino Royale, the original. That one was so... I'm glad I saw it because of what it is. And I'm a Peter Sellers fan.
Yeah.
So, like, I love him in Pink Panther and just Peter Sellers in general. He kind of steals the show. He's the only... You'll have to watch it. Like, I don't know how you'll feel about it, because it's... I can't believe they made it. Like,
Ursula Andress is Vesper?
Yes.
And then she's the first Bond girl in Dr. No.
Yes, and... Yes.
Oh.
She's the first Bond... Dr. No.
I did not know that.
Dr. No, I wasn't crazy about, but it was interesting because of the island and...
I like it, but
Ursula Andress is awesome. Like, she's one of my top five Bond girls for sure.
Yeah, she's good.
And plus, she's in two movies. She's sexier to me in the Peter Sellers one.
Yeah,
because she's got more screen time. There are a lot of, If anything, if you're into Bond girls, the original Casino Royale has at least 50 of them. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's got a lot of beautiful girls.
I'm definitely gonna check this out.
But you'll say, what is this whack job? Like,
it's got three
Bonds in it. Woody, what is his name? Woody Allen.
I was just looking at the...
Yeah, Woody Allen's in it. David Niven. Yeah, I think Max von Sydow's in it. And if he is in it, he's in another Bond film for very little screen time.
Yeah, I don't remember.
He's petting a cat. It's in a Sean Connery one for sure.
Okay.
But he had like 4 minutes of screen time. That's it. Yeah. And I always remember him from Flash Gordon. That's like his seminal role to me.
Ming the Merciless.
I love that movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Totally.
Every time my wife says, get that out of my purse, I always say, well, that's me going into that tree of doom in Flash Gordon.
You never know what's going to happen. Yeah. Hey, Timothy Dalton's in that one, too.
Yeah, he is. He's the Robin Hood guy. I forget what his name is.
Yeah, Prince something or other.
Yeah, he ends up with the gorgeous woman, too, Bing's daughter.
Yes.
I am such a fan of Timothy Dalton. I don't know what it is about him. So like, he, even when he was Bond, I was like, I love him as Bond, because he was in Rocketeer, and I love Rocketeer. Like, it's now my second favorite comic book movie, but it was my first for a long, long time.
What is it now?
Joker. I love that movie. Uh-huh. I just can't. It's so artistically right. Like, I just love it.
Are you looking forward to the
– Yeah, I am.
I still haven't watched the trailer. I got to do that.
I don't want to watch the trailer because a lot of people are just destroying it, but
– Yeah, but they do that for everything.
Yeah, they do it for everything, so.
Yeah. I think some people just make it their business now just to badmouth whatever.
Yeah.
Is coming out.
So in comics, like, I didn't realize that Dark Horse did so much with Bond.
I didn't either. I don't think I have really.
I have all the Dynamite, and then I didn't have the Marvel stuff, which is just the movie adaptation of Spy Who Loved Me, I think. One of them.
Yeah.
And then. GoldenEye came out by Tops, but it never finished, and that's a hard book to track down. That only came out with two issues, but it never finished for whatever reason. And then several of those Dark Horse ones didn't finish either, so they would have like two issues and then never finish. But I picked them up. I think I only have one more Dark Horse to get. And then I got the first appearance of Doctor or Bond in Showcase, which was the first American.
And how expensive is that one?
That one's quite expensive.
Oh, because I would like to have that one.
Well, it wasn't double digits. I mean, sorry, it wasn't triple digits.
Oh, okay. Well,
and so I got it for a really
attainable then.
And, yeah, and I got it for under 100. I'd have to look it up, but
what number is it?
So I have it right here.
I'm gonna jot it down.
43.
Okay, I'll jot it down, and then when I'm looking,
I learned a lot about this book because I was trying to track down the Classics Illustrated Dr. No as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Classics Illustrated UK. It wasn't done in America for whatever reason. Like, the Classics Illustrated don't match up in the UK with America. I never knew that because I didn't buy a lot of Classics Illustrated.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
But the one thing I learned just from sometimes the internet's wonderful. I mean, like, there's some good Facebook groups. Like, one of my favorites is the Dell and Gold Key ones, and then the comic books, the Golden Age,
mm-hmm.
because there's just smart motherfuckers on there. Like, like today I posted, I've been trying to track down, and I use the internet and everything. I was like, I can't find this. Like, I know I can't get the first appearance of Bugs and Daffy because there's only like 200 copies known in existence.
Yeah.
And it's like, shit, it's like $40,000 or $50,000. It's like unattainable. No, it's over 100, I think. But anyway, I was looking for all the other characters because I got the first appearance of Taz. I got the first appearance of Roadrunner, the first appearance of Coyote, and now I was searching for Yosemite Sam, who's one of my favorites, and Foghorn Leghorn. And I couldn't find on the internet anywhere where Yosemite Sam's first appearance was, or Foghorn Leghorn, and somebody found them for me, so...
Wow.
Yeah, I'm like stoked. I just posted on the Comics of the Golden Age, and And they were affordable, so I was like, hey, I got to jump on this, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed you were getting a lot of, like, animated, like Scooby-Doo and all of that. Like,
yeah,
all
the Scooby-Doo is expensive. That's outrageous.
Yeah.
The Flintstones and Jetsons were pretty outrageous, too, but I got them, I think, before they get too outrageous.
Yeah.
They're just worth a lot more than you would think, these funny books.
Yeah, well, I mean, probably not a lot of them are out there, you know?
Yeah, well, like, the Scooby-Doo, it's rare, and the demand is so high that it's almost in Hulk 181 range. Like,
oh, my God.
Yeah, it's that expensive if you want a grade that's really high.
Yeah.
You could probably get Hulk 181 for cheaper. So it just goes to show that Scooby, these things are no joke, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Wow. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
And I got the first appearance of Beverly Hillbillies and a couple other ones. Bonanza.
I thought you were going to say Beverly Hills 90210. I'm like, I didn't know they had a comic book.
they do. And I actually looked for it. But
they do have one?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
It's a promo book.
Wow.
For whatever reason.
Beverly Hills, 90210.
Unfortunately, I didn't see any like Starsky and Hutch or Beretta, but there might be a Kojak. I don't know. I haven't looked.
Yeah.
If there was a Sanford and Son, I'd be all over it. A Three's Company, I did buy, but I can only find those in Cracked, Crazy, and...
Oh, okay.
Mad
Men. So they never had their own series.
Yeah. Well, it just so coincidentally that Three's Company's first appearance in Mad Magazine is the Star Wars first appearance. So you get two nice things in that book.
Yeah, I'm sure that bumps it up.
Yeah.
You've been on a tear lately.
Yeah, not to Barb's liking for sure. But
No.
I got a bonus at work, so most of
Oh,
the
see?
stuff was like extra stuff. I'm trying
And
to cool down now, but
are you still find yourself spending less on CBS for new stuff or no? Has that gotten higher again?
oh, it's going lower, but because of the amalgam and the DC Marvel stuff, it went really high. Some of the collected editions that I think if I don't get now, then I'll never be reprinted kind of thing, you know, just because of licensing and will that ever happen again, like Godzilla or ROM, you know?
This current one's
I go
gonna be
for it.
higher for me. Kind of similar reason they got another the third ROM
Yeah.
is in there, and there's a couple other things that I'm getting. So that one's higher than it has been. But in terms of single issues, my yeah, I'm definitely a lot lower than I had been in the past.
I'm trying to get lower in Marvel, but there's some Marvel that I'm really loving, so it's hard. But because I can read it on the app. Yeah, so I
Yeah,
got I'm
I
trying to like phase out like big events or maybe just get the event book but not the other titles and then catch those on the app.
that's what I've
So
been trying to do as well. Like that Blood Hunt thing is, I'm just gonna read the whole thing on the app, even the main part of the
well,
series.
that one sold me
It's too
because
much.
of the exclusive extra violent polybagged edition. That just brought the 90s back, and I was like, oh, I like to see that. But yeah.
I find I'm spending the most monthly on actually Image for sure, just because
Oh, the
it's not
G.I.
like there's
Joe and the Transformers and Void
I mean in
Rivals, they're
just
all.
all the a lot of the
Oh, the
series I
Geoff
just really
Johns
enjoy.
world too. I mean, all the Ghost Machine.
Oh yeah, all the Ghost Machine, obviously there's I am starting to pick and choose with the Spawn stuff because there's just been so much coming.
Spawn has been really good. That Salmon Twitch was top notch, man.
Yeah, I just finished reading that first issue
Oh, I freaking
yesterday or the
loved
day
it.
before. Yeah,
The
it's
only thing
good.
I wasn't crazy about was the lettering or the bubbles because it melds in with the color.
Yeah.
Like,
Yes.
I didn't like that, but they've done that before with Salmon Twitch, so I wasn't like shocked. But that was really good. I loved it.
Yeah, I thought that was good too. So, yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of stuff, and
Like
unlike,
you're liking Flash and I'm not, so that just goes to show that there's something for everybody, you know?
yeah, I mean, and don't get me wrong, Jeremy Adams, I loved what
Well,
he, I
I
was so upset when they said when he was coming off.
yeah.
I still would like to see him on there, but I'm still enjoying what was it Spurrier?
Yeah, I don't like Cy Spurrier at all.
I'm still
Just in
enjoying it.
general, there's some of his independent stuff I like, but when he plays with my toys, I don't like it.
Get out of
In
here.
I actually think Diodato is playing with that application called Poser, because if you look at what that computer AI generated stuff looks like, it looks like that. So that sort of turns me off, but
I wonder.
and I just don't I don't like this concept of the stillness. Like, it's so abstract and weird, and it's like affecting like Grodd and Mirror Master and other characters, and they're so out of what I know them to be.
I don't know. I
So
find it interesting.
the only there's one redeeming quality that I like, okay, that I personally like, and that's the kids. I don't like the I like the way they're portrayed in the book, especially the son, not wanting to be a hero but getting caught up in some stuff, and
Yeah, I think he's doing a good Linda... job with that. I'm a little worried with what he's doing with Linda. Like, I don't.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the W.C. Fields face, and she's running with the Flash and has this little mask she puts in front of her which has W.C. Fields on it. Like, I'm not crazy about that, but I. Or what he's done with Barry, like, it's weird. It seems weird to me.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you're liking it.
Yeah, I enjoy it so far.
Yeah.
See where it goes.
I just caught up on Batman and Robin, and I love that book.
Oh, yeah?
Oh,
I haven't
watched
any of it. I haven't read any of it, rather. Sorry.
Oh, you don't get it?
Mm-mm.
You should read it on the app.
Okay. Yeah, you know, as they start doing more and more, I'm just trying to switch as much as I can to
no,
the app. So.
Just read a couple issues and tell me what you think, because I think it really captures something that, you know how Batman and Robin came out and it was like Dick and Damian?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's Bruce and Damian, but it really has this father-son aspect to it. That's like a real father-son aspect. Like, I love it. Oh, my God, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I'll read it.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite books now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just like top of the stack for sure. But why don't you kick us off?
Okay. Why not? Okay, so, it was a few weeks ago now. Went to the LCS, grabbed my I only go like every other week or once every 3 weeks because it's just not a lot that I'm getting from there anymore.
Which LCS is it?
Just the one that's the one that I've been going to since I was a little kid, City Comics.
Okay. Gotcha.
They're still around. So, you know, I get the X-Men stuff through there and I went like 3 weeks ago or whatever, and they had a stack of really kind of beat up but still cover attached and everything, complete comics that are all, they were all like 15, 12 or 15 cents. I think all the Marvels were 15. There were some DCs that were 12. So I started going through them, and I'm like, I found a Spider-Man, I found a Submariner and Avengers, a couple Superman. So I just bought like five or six of them, $2 each, you know? And like I said, they're definitely aren't in great shape, but they're all complete. And like the covers are there. My big thing is I hate it when the cover is just totally loose.
Yeah.
Not attached anymore. So the covers are attached. You know, there's no pages missing. They're just all really, really wrinkled to crap. Like there's just like... heavy,
it would probably be
down.
A G is what you're saying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I'm like, well, that's well worth it, especially to read. So anyhow, I grabbed a couple of them for this time to cover. The first one I'm going to do is Amazing Spider-Man number 76. And this is from 1969. And on the cover, it's got the Lizard. It says the Lizard lives. And this is when Stan Lee was still writing and John Buscema was the artist. It throws you right into the action from the very first page. One big picture of the Lizard breaking through a brick wall and basically saying that he's escaped and that he's needs to destroy the one called Spider-Man. And he goes on to monologue for the next several pages of just basically like, you know, how Spider-Man beat him last time. Now he's not going to let Spider-Man trick him again. And this time he's going to, you know, kill him. So he's really out for revenge. And, this is all happening in, New York. And, for whatever reason, it doesn't explain it here, but Spider-Man has brought Kurt Connors' wife and son to New York from Florida and is basically kind of like keeping them in a hotel, like as a, that is a secret, is like a safe house. And she his wife makes Spider-Man promise that, you know, if he encounters Kurt the Lizard, that he will you know, they won't hurt him, and they'll try to subdue him without him being hurt, because he doesn't know what he's doing. And Spider-Man makes that promise and goes and swings off to get back home. And he goes home to take care of some business. He's got to go meet Gwen. He's going out with Gwen Stacy at this point. He quickly calls his Aunt May, who has moved down to Florida, and makes it sound like he probably had just been there, maybe visiting Aunt May, and brought the Connors family back up to New York. After a brief encounter with Harry, who he's roommates with, says hi to him and takes off to meet Gwen at Gwen's house. And Gwen is starting to worry that Peter has been seeing another woman, because he's always like rushing off and stuff like that. And he assures her that there's no one else but her, and that there is something that, you know, he wants to tell her, but it's going to have to be at a different time. And
what does he want to tell her? Do you know?
Yeah, it sounds like he is thinking about telling her that he's Spider-Man.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, it sounds like he wants to take care of this business with the Lizard. And when things aren't so chaotic, he starts,
she dies not knowing that, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So it's interesting that this is, you know, quite a few, you know, almost 50 issues prior to her dying. And, you know, he's thinking about, you know, maybe telling her. But if I remember correctly, I think some things change that convinces him that he can't tell her. So they cut to the next room at the Stacy house, and Captain Stacy is there with Robbie Robertson, and they are discussing Spider-Man, and that they both agree that he's no menace to society. But, you know, they wonder if maybe if, you know, they found out who he was, that the public would be less suspicious of him, and they could convince him to make his identity public. And they walk out and encounter Peter and Gwen, and they ask, you know, oh, Peter, you know, you've taken more pictures of Spider-Man than anyone. Is there anything that you could think of that, you know, could give us a clue as to who he is? And of course he says no. And they kind of put him on the case to try to discover who Spider-Man is. So then that takes care of that until the next day. And he's back at his apartment, and he wakes up to the radio with a news bulletin that the Lizard has been found and he's causing havoc downtown. So of course he changes into his costume and goes web slinging down there. That's when the big fight ensues. He starts swinging in the general direction when his web gets sliced and he starts falling. And of course it's the Lizard that sliced it with his claws. So they start going at it. It's, you know, just a big slugfest for the next several pages. And it's really going back and forth between the, you know, Lizard gets the upper hand for a little bit, then it switches to Peter and back and forth. And enough so that Peter's like, I'm going to have to, you know, change this up a little, where we're too evenly matched and I'm not able to really get him. So he makes a plan to so the Lizard kind of thinks that he's been almost defeated. And his plan is to let the Lizard throw him off the building, and he's going to kind of swing through the window and go around the other side and take him by surprise and knock him out. So he gets thrown. He's pretending to be kind of like unconscious, and the Lizard grabs him and kind of like throws him off the building, thinking that that's going to kill him. But Peter's just pretending. But as soon as the Lizard drops him, what happens is, who happens to be flying by but the Human Torch, and he sees this, and he goes flying as quickly as possible to quote unquote save Spider-Man's life, and totally messes up Peter's plans, and he even tells the torch that much, and he brings him back up to the roof where the lizard is, and the last thing that Spider-Man's thinking before the end of the issue is like, oh, unlike me, the Human Torch will use all his power to destroy him, and I'm too weak to stop the torch or to save the lizard. So he wanted to do what he could to minimize the damage to the lizard because of his promise to the Connors family. And now he's in a bad situation because the torch doesn't know anything about the lizard. And now next issue, torch is going to do everything in his power to stop him and could permanently damage him. And that was the end of that one. So it was a lot of, you know, at the beginning there's obviously exposition and some subplots going on, but you know, that whole second half was just nonstop action from pretty much, you know, page 10 all the way to the end.
Yeah.
So, it was kind of a quick read because there's, you know, unusual of that time from 60s to have a quicker read, but there's so much action that it was actually a pretty quick read.
Nice.
A good one. Yeah.
I think it's worth picking up those books if you get an opportunity, for sure.
Oh my God, for that price too.
Yeah.
Where are you going to find one for $2?
Yeah.
You know,
especially
center?
Something that old. Yeah.
Yeah. I was really happy to see those. There's a couple other ones, but I already had the issues, so I left them there for somebody else to pick up.
What was your, how do you rank the lizard as villain? Is he in your top sphere or no?
Yeah, for Spider-Man, he is, but probably, you know, within the top 10 or top dozen, probably, you know, lower in that group, but overall in terms of, you know,
well, who's
a large
your favorite,
scheme of
Green
things.
Goblin?
Yeah, Green Goblin. Yeah, but you know, Spider-Man has so many. I mean, you know, Green Goblin, Doc Ock.
Yeah, Doc Ock is surpassed Goblin for me.
Yeah,
just because of Slott. I think he made it some other area for me, like to think of Doc Ock in a different way. But yeah, plus he's always been.
Yeah, he's. He's
interesting, like
time.
Trying to marry Aunt May and
yep,
like yeah,
there's been a lot and honestly and I totally understand that. I mean, you know, Green Goblin just happens to be a personal favorite of mine, but you know, for the longest time, you know, when we were kids reading comics, is, you know, from, you know, a younger age all the way up, the Green Goblin was dead, you know. So it's like, yeah, you might have had some replacements, but
Hobgoblin,
yeah, he wasn't there the whole time, whereas, you know, Doc Ock has always been
around. Yeah, Hobgoblin was late 80s, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, like definitely, or at least mid 80s,
mid 80s, yeah,
yeah, for sure. And I think I've told you this before, but as a little kid reading the Marvel Tales, I wasn't aware, as a smaller, you know, younger kid, that those were reprints. So
yeah.
It wasn't until years later I'm like, oh, Green Goblin's not around anymore. I thought he was because I was reading him in Marvel Tales.
Yeah, those reprints are gems. I never liked them to begin with, but I think when I was getting Marvel Tales, I was in the same boat. I knew they were reprints because they looked different, but
it didn't even occur to me.
I still would buy them.
Very long, but when I was real little, I just thought they were regular, you know, another more Spider-Man stories.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get all the Todd McFarlane Marvel Tales that covers mm-hmm. that he did.
Yeah. I don't think I have any of those because I wasn't getting Marvel Tales anymore.
Yeah, but you're not as obsessed with Todd McFarlane as I am. Not nearly.
I was recently listening to one of your podcasts with Bill, and like you guys were, I can't remember, like, how it started, but you guys were just talking about a lot of like Todd's legal issues of the past.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the twist and, you know, all that stuff.
He lost a lot of money and went bankrupt for a little bit. So,
yeah.
He was smart enough, though, not to...
I don't understand, like... Okay, well, it's somebody's name, but, like... It has nothing to do with, like... What?
I actually think looks, that...
He does...
Yeah.
You know, nothing. Like, I don't know how he lost that.
His arrogance. I bought the court, what do you call it, cases.
Uh-huh.
So you can read, like, the... what the court clerk did and all the dispositions, like he said, she said, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And he loses because the jury doesn't like him and he won't, he doesn't care. Like he's in a lot of cases, he loses because he won't shut up.
Yeah.
Like I don't think he's in the wrong for any of them. Even the Neil Gaiman one. I really don't. Because his intentions were still giving him more than he would if he was working for Marvel or DC.
Right.
It's just that...
Yeah, you said like $100,000 or
something. Yeah, Gaiman wanted the ownership of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Todd thought he owned Mr. Miracle, and it got ugly.
Yeah.
So...
It is interesting. It's like almost like he goes into the court case with having... like a clear upper hand in terms of like law. And then he goes and loses it on himself.
Yeah. So he ended up losing Angela and the whole concept of Angela, like,
which is why Marvel,
he tried to do some offset angels that look like Angela and he couldn't do it. And then he kept Cagliostro, which is a big part of his stuff.
Yeah.
His origin and everything. And, Medieval, he kept Medieval Spawn.
Okay.
But he lost Miracle Man in its entirety too. And then
yep.
You know where Miracle Man went. It went to Marvel and then so did Angela. So
exactly.
She's like related to Thor now. So there you go.
Interesting. Yeah. That's full of. Yeah. So what do you have?
I'm going to talk about Anthro number one. So, this is a beautiful copy. I got this one. I got a full run of the issues. When you're on a Twitter auction, you don't get to like, oh, let me see if I have six or five. You have to just go for it. Yeah, or you'll lose everything. Like, yeah. It's a game of seconds. So, I with that Anthro, I knew I was missing, I think, three. And I just said all. Because it was, I can type that the fastest, and I wanted to win it, and I didn't mind getting three. But he always, on this Twitter auction, he always has books that are fine or higher, and they just look beautiful. Mm. This is a really nice copy of number one. It has the Battle of the Sexes, and has a cave woman riding a woolly mammoth, and Anthro looks like he kills a wolf. It's by Howie Post. I don't know who wrote it. It's probably in our database. He's an incredible artist. He looks like Kubert. Like,
says Howie Post wrote it too.
Okay, so he wrote it and drew it.
Yep.
He's got like a Kubert style to him. So like, you could look at it and say, oh, that could be Kubert. It definitely is not, but it could be like his tour. I don't know if you ever saw Kubert's tour, but
yep, I have. Yeah,
it kind of looks like that. Well, it starts off with Anthro walking with his brother, which is Lart. So he's got Lart. Sounds like a name from Caveman. Ringo Starr. Lore. Lana. Zug Zug. But he's walking with Lart, and there Anthro recently killed a woolly mammoth and it was going back with Lart to grab the meat. So he scares the wolves away with two rocks, shows his brother to do it. And then a woman attacks them. She throws a spear at him. And he had met her in a previous showcase, presents Anthro. So he recognizes her, and he chases her. And gives a little flashback of where he saw her before. She attacks him though, like with her claws and her she wants to scratch his eyes out. She bites him in the shoulder, and he basically kicks her into a rock and knocks her out. And he says, "You speak the dialect of my mother's tribe." And he says, "My father speaks the truth. You're a cannibal," because she was biting him, but she's not. She it turns out that woolly mammoth was her pet, and she was always trying to keep it alive and from being hunted by her own people, because that was food. She raised this woolly mammoth, so that's what her attachment was to the woolly mammoth. But while he goes off with his girl, he leaves Lart with the mammoth, and that's food for all these wolves. And little Lart has to fend off the wolves, and he just barely does. But then this huge wolf attacks, and I forget what name it has, but it's like known in the people that this is a giant wolf, and nobody messes with it. And it's the giant Kano, the father of all dogs. And Lart pulls up the spear, and as the wolf dives to him, he actually kills the wolf, but it also cripples him. Like, it shatters both his legs, and he looks almost dead. So he has to take his brother Lart back home. And they she, he doesn't look like he's in good shape. Plus, it looks like both his legs are broke. And when you're in caveman days, I don't even know if these guys know how to splint it or how to keep him. So it's almost like he's not going to walk again. So
Right.
he's stuck like that. And then Anthro goes back because he wants to find this girl. This part's funny. And he runs across this other caveman, and he goes, "Hey, I'm willing to give you an offering for your daughter." And this guy's like drunk, and he's like, "Huh, well, if you pass these tests, I'll let you have my daughter." And he sees the blonde, she's blonde, and he thinks that it's the blonde girl, that it's his daughter, but it's not. So he
Oh,
passes all these tests, and he's like, "Oh, you could have my daughter." He does this, like, he has to ride a wild horse and do some spear contests, and once he actually does it, he brings out his daughter. And she's this big woman that doesn't look anything like the blonde that he was there, and he just takes off. He's like, "I'm out of here." So it looks like he might meet her again, but it was pretty funny. Yeah, it's really a cool issue of Anthro. I'll probably read the next one because I have them all here, so.
awesome. So you have all six.
Yeah, Zug-Zug. He wanted some Zug-Zug. A toque.
Now, do you have the his appearance in Showcase or no?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's his first appearance, right?
Yeah. I still want to fill out some of those. I'm missing a few issues near that Dr. No. I'm missing the Cave Carson ones. I think I have the Hawkman. I need the Green Lanterns. I have the Aquamans. I get confused on which are the Brave and the Bold and which are Showcase, but
Showcase, yeah. I have very, very few
like I have the
showcase.
first Titans. I'll never have the first Justice League, that's for sure.
No,
Maybe. I
probably
mean, you
not.
never know. I could get like a beat up coverless one. You never know.
I would like a beat up coverless of Showcase 4.
Oh, that would be nice. That's like unobtainable.
Yeah. Our database is $93,000.
Yeah, it's the first comic of the Silver Age, so
Let's
it's.
change that to fair condition. Only 7,500, Mike. Let's go to poor.
Our database is
1,870.
not reality though.
No,
It's
it's not.
a conservative,
Yeah.
very conservative.
Definitely. That's funny. All right, you ready for my second one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got Prince Namor the Submariner. Number 15. This is also from my little grab of the $2 ones. This is a 12-cent issue.
Number 15. I only need four more to go on that series.
Wow, this is like my second issue, I think. That's all I have. This one's written by Roy Thomas, and Marie Severin is the artist. So this one picks up, apparently, I don't know what had happened before this, but he returns to Atlantis on the very first page. He shows up, everyone's playing their trumpets and so forth. I don't know how underwater, but they're playing their trumpets. And so he thinks to himself, he's like, yes, I'm home again after being driven out. And apparently the whole serpent crown saga had happened and had put all of his people under a spell. And now that it's been destroyed, they are no longer under it, and now recognize him again as their leader. So, he thanks them, and the first thing he wants to know is where Lady Dorma is, who is his girl at this point. And so they say, actually, she wants to speak with you privately in the – or no, sorry. The Lord Vashti, who is like his counselor, says that he wants to speak to Namor privately about Dorma privately in the royal palace. So they go there, and Lord Vashti says that Tiger Shark had been captured and was imprisoned in Atlantis. And while they were under the spell of the Serpent Crown, he escaped. And later, when their senses had returned, Lady Dorma was really upset because at that point they were trying to kill Namor when they were under the effects of the Serpent Crown. And apparently Tiger Shark's sister was demanding his return because she's got some sort of technology now, some sort of equipment that will reverse what was done to him to make him more fish than man. And so she wants him back so she can get him back to normal. And Lady Dorma is insisting that, he's escaped, that they don't have him anymore. And his sister doesn't believe it and accuses him of lying, and really goes nuts. So Lady Dorma had decided that she has to go out and find Tiger Shark, and that's just what she did. So she went out alone looking for him, and hasn't been seen since. So of course now Namor's pretty upset that they let her go, but what could we have done? She, she rules us, and so Namor takes off to try to locate her rather. He goes to the science chamber in Atlantis to try to figure out if there is any type of clues, and he starts looking into, I don't know, it almost looks like a magic mirror, and he sees Dorma. There's no sound, only can see her, and it looks like she's imprisoned, and somebody starts talking over it, and it's Diane Arliss, that is Tiger Shark's sister, and says that, we've captured Lady Dorma, and we will give her back to you once you give me my brother. And, of course, now he's very upset. She does say that they have a prisoner at Empire State University. And you know how Namor's temper is, so he breaks the glass and vows that that he's going to get Lady Dorma. He had promised to help Tiger Shark, but he's like, I'm not doing that on threat of anybody. So you know, first thing I'm going to do is rescue Lady Dorma, and then we'll take care of Tigger Shark down the road. Turns out that this woman, Diane Arliss, is working with two men. One is Dr. Dorcas, who I have heard of before, but not real. I don't know a lot about him. I don't know if you do, Mike, but I don't really. He's a schemer. He's a mad scientist. I don't know.
I've been reading a lot of Tales to Astonish, and which is prior to this series, and it sounds familiar, but I don't.
Not super familiar.
Yeah, not super familiar.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I've heard the name before, but I can't recall any details. And the other guy is Gregson Gilbert. Apparently, he has been in a couple issues before, in a Fantastic Four issue, and in a couple earlier Submariner issues. So anyhow, these are a couple scientists, and they're working with her and trying to guide her to do what they want her to do. And she's actually starting to feel bad about capturing Lady Dorma, even though she wants her brother back. So Namor knows exactly where to go because she told him as much. So that's exactly what he does. He flies off, lands in New York City, asks somebody who's walking in the park where Empire State University is. He tells him, and he goes flying off to Empire State University. He shows up on the campus and starts looking around and wonders, you know, how he can possibly find Lady Dorma with, you know, such large buildings and so many people. Just so happens that Gilbert guy, that Gregson Gilbert, is on the steps entering one of the buildings, and he sees Namor and starts running away. That, of course, catches his attention. He starts chasing him, and he chases him right to Dr. Dorcas's lab. He makes, of course, short work of these two because they're just scientists with no powers whatsoever. And they swear to him that Dorma's unharmed. She's in the next room. So he breaks through into the next room, and she's like in a little bubble that's filled with water so she can breathe. And Dragon Man, right? That purple dinosaur looking guy. Yeah, so he was part of the
Future Foundation.
Yes, prior to Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. So he's sitting here guarding it, and it's made clear, in case any readers didn't know, that he is an android. But as soon as Submariner sees him, he starts attacking. He actually pokes one of Dragon Man's eyes out, and breaks Dorma out, and advises her to take some pills that they have, I guess, some sort of technology medication there that allows her to breathe above water. But just as they're doing that, and Dragon Man's on the ground at this point, Dorcas comes running in with a ray gun, and starts shooting. Doesn't hit him at all. But Diane kind of like grabs his arm and pulls it aside because she doesn't want anyone else to be heard at this point. And the ray gun does hit Dragon Man, which helps him go berserk. And he starts breaking things, and an entire wall and ceiling, it comes crumbling down, and it looks like it's going to crush Diane. And Namor flies over there and blocks it, so Diane doesn't die. Dragon Man is still totally enraged. Dragon Man ends up escaping the building and starts flying off. And at this point, Namor follows him, and they start fighting. The Dragon Man does have fire breath, which is weakening Namor. He gets hit with that and falls to the ground. And he decides, oh, he's like, oh, he only has one eye remaining, and now Dragon Man's turning toward the two women, Dorma and Diane. And Diane tells Dorma to shoot that with the ray gun that they picked up from Dorcas, and it's jammed. So this whole time, from being in Atlantis, Namor had been presented with his trident and his like cloak, his cape. He was still wearing, he doesn't have his trident, but he's still wearing his cloak throughout this whole thing. So he grabs it, takes it off of him, and wraps it around Dragon Man's one working eye so he can't see. And he starts pummeling him pretty good and kind of knocks him for a loop. And he's totally exhausted at this point. And this is funny. He said he needs water, and water he shall have. So he rips open the hood of a car and presumably starts patting his face down with the water from the radiator or something, I guess. So it's not much water, but I guess it's enough to give him a little bit of strength. And they do say, Diane says, oh, there is a weakness in Dragon Man's designs and that he's sensitive to extreme changes.
I hope they didn't have antifreeze.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, what is he doing? But you know what? Maybe back then there's just water in some of these. Because, I mean, it doesn't explain it. It's just,
yeah.
It open. The cool life-giving liquid. That's what he says. More precious than all the world's treasures. And he's just drinking and putting it all over his face.
What year was this?
69.
Okay, so gosh, the year of my birth. But I don't
know.
That's
the first thing I thought of.
But as long as I remember, in the 70s, that's when antifreeze was there.
So maybe
because
okay.
I remember my parents saying, "Don't get near that stuff," you know.
Right. Yeah. It was just funny, like in today's eyes, you know, seeing him do that. I'm like, oh God, I don't know that I would do that.
I'd imagine without it, you'd have to fill that sucker up a lot,
because it would constantly,
yeah, it would just heat over
up.
And just,
yeah, over and over again.
Steam.
I mean, you used to see that in the old movies too, right? Is that,
yeah,
you know, the radiator heated? Yeah, it's just steaming. Yeah, so they say that Dragon Man is sensitive to extreme temperature changes, and that it had been stopped before both by molten lava and an icy lake. So as they're telling him this, they warn him, behind you, and Dragon Man's flying back to him. He managed to get the cloak off of his eye. And so
maybe androids like antifreeze.
Maybe. Even though he rams into him, Dragon Man just grabs him with one of his huge hands and throws him. But you know where he throws him? This was a bad mistake on Dragon Man's part. Throws him into a water tower.
Yeah.
Goes right into the water tower, and he's like, I feel 100% now, and he's not going to escape at this point. So he goes flying out of there, starts wrestling him. He sees a temperature-controlled rail car. And throws him into it, and you know, he's trying to get out. He's now moving very slowly because he's kind of like frozen over. But he's trying to get out of there because it's, you know, obviously the top is totally gone. So he's trying to just lift himself up. But Namor grabs the water tower that now has a hole in it and dumps it right on top of the rail car and totally encases the Dragon Man in ice, and that takes care of Dragon Man. So they capture Dorcas. It doesn't show really much where this other Dr. Gilbert went. He seemed to be the least dangerous out of all of them. And Namor tells Diane to denounce Dr. Dorcas, and then he will go find his brother. So of course, or find her brother. So of course, Diane agrees. And Dorma and Submariner leave, and that's the next thing that they're going to do is Namor's plan is to find the treacherous tiger shark. And that looks like it will be the next issue. So I actually like Tiger Shark quite a bit. So I would like to read number 16.
Those are good comics too. Like every Namor book I've read, I've really enjoyed.
Yeah, this was a good one. Like I said, I have very few of his. I have that. What was it called? Just Namor in the, was it the 80s or 90s by John Byrne?
Yeah,
Yeah,
Namor.
that one was fantastic, but I don't have any
Of
of the
course,
really
when
any
we
of the
were
older ones.
that age, a John Byrne book was an auto buy.
Yes, it was 100%. I mean, he was the king, as far as I'm concerned, not just the art and stuff like that, but he was so good at doing. I know you've got some other favorites, but he was so good at doing like those ongoing subplots. Like there were always a main story, but there was always more stuff going on that was like, you'd get little teases of each issue before something came to fruition for, these long going subplots that made the stories just so interesting. And yeah, I love that. I love that series. But this was a good one. I have to say it was really good. And like I said, I only have like maybe this issue and one more, much higher up in numbering. Looks like number 46. So yeah, I mean, I wonder how much of this is on the app. I would love to actually read
Oh,
this.
I would start with the Tales to Astonish for sure.
Yeah, and just go from there.
They're really good.
Yeah, I think I will.
Because
This is
it's like
interesting.
Cap in Iron Man, it
Yeah.
continued right out of there. Except
Yeah,
Cap they didn't renumber, and the other one, it's Tales of Suspense, they just took over the numbering.
Right. Yeah. And what was that? Hulk?
Hulk, yeah.
Yeah, and then the other
And
one was
some of them are really good too because they sort of tie into one another. In other words, like there'll be a scene where somebody who's fighting Submariner is involved with the Hulk or something like that, you know? Yeah, so it's kind of interesting for sure.
Yeah, this was a good one. I really enjoyed it.
I'm going to talk about Superman Family number 177.
Okay.
This has what looks to be Starboy holding Supergirl, but it's not Starboy. In a Crisis on Infinite Earths kind of pose where Supergirl looks dead and he's holding her. And then it's got a Lana Lois story reprint and a Jimmy Olsen Superman's Pal reprint. So I think it had two reprints and one original story. The original story was told by one of my favorite Flash writers, Kerry Bates.
Oh, yes.
And it's scripted by Elliot S. Magan and illustrated by Kurt Schaffenberger. And I do like myself some Supergirl stories. At this time, all the stories were told with a flash forward and then tell you how they got there kind of storytelling. But this kid Raynor is born on a planet, and he is from the moment he's born, they say, "Oh, you're going to have a star mate," and a female's born on another world at the exact moment of your birth, and you're going to have to find her. Well, when this kid's about 10, I guess your hormones start at 10, okay, which probably is pretty true. I think mine were kicking pretty good in grade school. Because I remember my first crushes for sure.
Yeah.
But this kid leaves his parents and goes in a starship looking for his star mate. Well, his star mate happens to be Supergirl. But this opens up where she goes into the Fortress of Solitude. And at that time, the Fortress of Solitude was, you had to put the giant key into that little keyhole and turn it, and only people that were Kryptonian could supposedly lift that thing
Right.
and turn the key. Well, she goes in there to visit Kandor and shrink down in there so she can talk to her parents. And when she gets to her parents' house and uses her key, the alarm goes off and a robot attacks her, and holds her up, and her mom and dad are acting like they don't even know who she is, which is like, she's like, what the hell's going on? So she leaves there very depressed, goes back to her job where she's like a counselor at a college, and she's not paying attention to any of their problems because she's like, one of the girls is saying, but she thinks I'm too young to have a steady boyfriend, and she's not paying attention to her at all. And there's a fire going on at an observatory, a space observatory. So she has to go in there and put out the fire. And she finds that guy, who's her star mate there. He said, I had to draw you out, so I decided to destroy stuff. This guy's not a good person. They get in fisticuffs, and he's like, you need to come with me. What a spirited one. You are my star mate to be, but surely you have no offense against my comet punch. And he like knocks her out. They get into huge fisticuffs. And then she has to eventually, it shows a flashback of when he went to her parents' ha place before they got bottled up on Kandor. And it showed him talking to the parents, and the parents were like, well, what we're gonna have to forget our own daughter. So that's how, when they got bottled up, they forgot her and didn't
Oh,
know
wow.
she was there because they didn't want this guy to track her down because he's a of a certain alien race and they know that he's not a good guy. But eventually she has to succumb to this guy and say, I'm gonna agree to go with you. The stars say that I have to be with you, according to this guy, and he has like this powerful rod, and they get into another fight, and she somehow gets ahead of him, which I don't understand. They're on a ship going together. She flies out of the ship, I guess, while he's piloting the ship, and throws something in front of the sun. So when he sees that the stars aren't aligned to be with his star mate, he freaks out, and he's like, oh, I don't need to be with you anymore. So it just ends like that. The next story is probably one of the best Superman stories I've ever read. It's Superman's girlfriend Lois Lane, and Lois, Lana, and Clark are on a newly developed maiden voyage airliner, where the stewardess is there, and she lights a fire on the plane. Just to show him
Of course, yeah.
that yeah, that water will shoot out of the ceiling and put it out, and it has all these freaking buttons, right? So that Lana hits a button, and like a tray pops out of in front of her and has a fully, you know, 4-course meal in front of them, and Lois starts hitting buttons. Like, why would you put this button on an airliner? She It's an eject button out of that seat, and it ejects Lois, Lana, and Clark out of that seat on a
Oh my God.
parachute, and they fly onto an island, and there's barbarians on the island. And one of the first things are there. I'm Droost, chieftain of the valley. Who are you? Which of these wenches is your wife? And he says, well, none of them are my wife. And he goes, well, they're gonna have to marry us. Or they have to experience the Cave of Doom.
Oh boy.
And Clark uses his X-ray vision and sees in the Cave of Doom that I guess a lot of women didn't want to marry these men because there's a lot of women that are frozen in stalactites. And
Wow.
Lois and Lana say, screw this, I'm not going to marry these assholes. So we'll take the Cave of Doom. And then they go in there and they come running out, and Lois's head is turned to rock.
Oh
And
my God.
Lana's arm is turned to rock, but Clark uses his X-ray vision and somehow reverses that. I don't know how his X-ray vision would do it, but maybe it radiated their arms somehow and got their arms and head back to together. And then this ugly ass caveman that looks like a fat ass Vandal Savage shows up, and he's like, so you would marry Valdor, a wise choice, wench. And he like smacks her. He's like, you're gonna be my bitch. And then he knocks out Clark because he has to pretend that to be Clark Kent. And Clark says, I'll marry you, Lois. And instead of being happy, Lois is, I think I just lost you.
I lost you for a second. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. That was weird.
Yeah, you were talking and then all of a sudden it stopped.
Yeah. Lois was extremely disappointed. She doesn't want to marry Clark. She wants to marry Superman. So as they're getting married there, she's sitting there with her veil and crying. Well, Lana's going to have to marry one of these cavemen, but Clark is like, I have to do something. So he switches to Superman and gets there, and he marries Lana. So, well, that causes a rift between Lois and...
I bet.
Yeah, sure. A matter of fact, he tells Lana, he says, I won't take part in your feud with Lois. After we're married, I'll still be her friend. And she goes, of course, dear. But then she thinks to herself, but as soon as I'm his wife, I'll lay down the law. And then Superman flies off, and Lois is super depressed because she's marrying Superman and she has Clark. And then Lois says, I think they're the same person. So Clark has to convince him that they're not the same person. He finds a rescue helicopter because they got ejected from the airplane because they're pushing buttons.
I absolutely love that.
Yeah, that's so funny. And they get rescued and the helicopter scares the barbarians away. And Lois is on the plane with Lana and Clark. And she says, they're in the helicopter. What a close call. I nearly had to marry Clark, but now I have a chance to land Superman someday. And Lana's like, to think I nearly married Superman. Oh, well, perhaps I'll get another chance. But before that, Clark says, but Lois, this doesn't have to interfere with our wedding plans, does it? And she says, don't be ridiculous, Clark. I was going to marry you only to save myself from the Cave of Doom. You know it's Superman I love. It was just hilarious. And then the other one's even better. It's Lois's sister, Lucy Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah, yeah.
Lucy and Jimmy used to be dating. This is by Kurt Swan and George Klein. They used to date, and they both get sent on a mission on an airliner, and they have to go undercover. Well, Lucy's a job is to pretend she's a stewardess, pretend she's a reporter, and take pictures of the crew to see who deserves a raise and who's goofing around. And Jimmy's job is to go on there and follow a criminal that's on the plane. So they both go into disguise. She pretends she's an actress, puts on a wig, and Jimmy pretends he's a magician. And puts on a hat and a tuxedo and get on the plane. And guess what? They sit next to each other and they fall in love with each other's aliases, not knowing who they are. So they're like thinking to themselves, like, I don't want to be with Jimmy anymore. I want to be with this guy. And then he's thinking the same thing, man, Lucy's a dud. I want to be with this hot actress. And they don't even have a clue. So later on, they have to deboard the plane, and Jimmy says he sees her wigs and says, "Oh, I hate blondes because it reminds me of somebody." And well, Lucy knows she's a blonde, so she's like, "Oh no, I'm gonna have to win him over." But they have to land the plane because of a fog. And they get down to the plane, and he has to do magic tricks on the. He doesn't know it's the criminal, but he's a bald guy like Lex Luthor, and he puts a wig on him, and jokes around, and the guy almost wants to kill him. And then they end up going to the masquerade party as Lois and Jimmy, and it's weird because she dresses like a magician and he dresses like an actress, and they go to a costume party and. They dance away and then said, well, we got to get back on the plane. So they go on the plane. They have to land on an iceberg because there's problems. And Superman coincidentally comes to the rescue because this one guy is on the plane he stole Jimmy Olsen's watch, so a signal watch, and he accidentally activated it. So Superman came to stop this criminal, or else they would have been in trouble. They would have died, like on the Titanic, on this glacier. But this guy accidentally hit the watch button, and Superman came to the rescue. And later on, Jimmy is on the date with Lucy at a fancy restaurant, and she's thinking, Jimmy's a nice boy, but I will never meet tall and handsome Maggie the Magnificent again, sigh. And then he's looking at the menu, and she says, Lucy's cute, but Sandra was glamorous dream girl. I wonder if we ever met face-to-face again. So they're in – I think there were two different people, and they're not. So I really got to figure out what happened. It says it's to be continued in a future issue, so we got to figure that out.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then it gives the history of Supergirl's boyfriends, which Brainiac I knew about. But it has Jero, who's a mirror boy, kind of like Superman had the mirror girl.
Oh, yeah, Lori Lamaris,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's Bronco Bill Starr, which was an incarnation of Comet the Superhorse. So she was actually dating... the Super Horse.
We shouldn't be getting into that.
Yeah.
This is a family podcast.
But you know what's interesting about that is they did that in the Peter David Supergirl. Took off with that.
That's hilarious.
And then Dick Malvier, because they were both in an orphanage. So she dated later on one of the kids that was in the orphanage with her. And then she almost married Mixel Piddalick. So there you go. The dating of Supergirl.
Yeah, that's a wide range of
of
boyfriends, that's for sure.
This is a true gem for sure.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, I want to know what happens to those two. I want to know if they go into those other aliases again.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta keep reading.
Yeah, I gotta figure out.
Nope.
I just can't believe how Clark puts up with Lois not loving him and loving his other self, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I don't have another one. Do you?
Nothing, but I'm just going to mention real quick. I started the Dark Horse Comics number 8 because it had a 4-issue James Bond series that I found out about doing research. And I read that, but it also had the first appearance of X, which is really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not by the team that was in, that made the ongoing. And I know there was Comics Greatest Worlds, like Arcadia and the different cities.
Yeah.
So I gotta have to go look those up again to see who the creators were, but this has an X guy where he's just going after corrupt politicians and, it has a RoboCop story, which I was in the middle of, so I don't know how I got there, but it was two police factions fighting one another, which was pretty cool. The thing I liked about this anthology is they were all good, and then a Bond series that was really a really cool one. But the best one was the Tales of the Jedi. This one was the first appearance of Dark Horse doing the Star Wars books, but it was in the issue before. So I started this one. This is like part 2, but this story, the Star Wars one was my favorite because it was about a woman who was marrying a Jedi and had a son with this Jedi. Mm-hmm. And there's these aliens that were searching for a crystal, you know, that crystal that makes lightsabers.
Yeah.
And they were trying to take that crystal and they kill her husband, so they killed a Jedi. And then she takes a lightsaber and defends her young child. And she's like swirling this lightsaber like she's pretty badass. And she sees a message. The ghost of her Jedi husband tells her to go to Tatooine, essentially, and go learn from a Jedi. And she goes down there, but she gets there and these criminals were Jabba the Hutt criminals. Like, they were, the barge shows up and they attack this Jedi hut, and you think this one guy's the Jedi hut leader, but he's just like a Padawan, and the Jedi leader is really a huge dog, which is kind of pretty cool because in Star Wars Rebels, one of the big Jedis is a wolf, like a huge, gigantic wolf.
Really?
Yeah, so this sort of made sense, but it was a really cool story. I liked it a lot. I thought it was neat. Matter of fact, I wanted more, but that was over. It was just the anthology. But it's cool because you have this anthology has like Predator, Aliens, Indiana Jones, Comics Greatest World Heroes, James Bond, like really cool licenses,
Yeah, that's
all
nice.
in the same comic. So it's really a neat anthology, and I need to finish it because I got like 1 through 15, and then the last issue because that was another James Bond issue, and I need to get the rest of them for sure.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to my database. I was going to look it up and look at that series, but started typing and Comic Base is not responding.
Ah.
I don't know what happened.
It's downloading a cover
Yeah.
the way they do now, where you mouse over it and it
Yeah,
picks the
they
biggest
start.
picture.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I might have to just
some of
start.
those YouTube comic base podcasts are pretty good.
I would imagine that they are. I've never gotten around to watching one, and I always mean
He's
to.
a really smart guy, and he discusses a lot of features that I didn't even know were there, and how to like make your database faster. Well, like I need a new computer for sure,
Yeah, me
but
too.
he teaches a lot of tricks, and then he also talks about like their methods of pricing and stuff. It's very interesting. Like it is really like a lot. Compiling a lot of metadata and then averaging things and all kinds of stuff. It's pretty interesting. It's
Yeah, I
worthwhile.
mean that's one reason why I was always wanting to watch to watch those is more with the tips and stuff. I'm sure it can do a million things that I have no idea about.
Yeah, I'm learning a lot. Plus, he had one episode like what features to turn off on Windows 11, which I don't have Windows 11 yet, but I'm gonna
Neither.
follow that episode because he's turning off all the spyware stuff that's just built in.
Yeah. Oh, you
So
know what? I have Dark Horse Comics number 8.
there you go. That's the first appearance of X.
Yeah. How do you like that? I've
Second
got number one, I've got number
appearance
eight.
of the Star Wars in Dark Horse too.
Wow. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Out of all the random issues, got one and I've got eight.
I didn't even know when I got this it was the first appearance of X, because I thought I already had them all, because I had Comics Greatest Worlds and then all the ongoings.
Yeah.
I still found out I need to get one, but I was looking at
Dark
it
Horse
earlier.
Presents lasted forever, right? And that was another
Yeah.
anthology. Yeah.
That one I have. I went on a tear getting those just so I could get the first Aliens Predator, I think, and then the first Sin City stuff. I did a complete, like, I need to get have all of the Sin City.
I have very few of Dark Horse Presents. I think I got something when they got the Aliens license, and that was about it.
Those ones I'm like they're really good, but I'm not some of the ongoings are really good, but these little anthology ones, they kind of just go in and go out.
Yeah.
They're not there's not a lot of meat, but I found the Star Wars and Bond ones are pretty good.
That's cool.
Yeah. RoboCop was good too, even though I was in the middle of a story. Yeah. All right, well, I think we can wrap this one up.
Yeah, it was good to be back finally
Yeah.
after months.
Yeah, it's
You
at least three or
and Joe are
four.
kind of holding down the fort.
Yeah, because Chris doesn't want a podcast anymore. He's always on vacation.
Yeah, where's he going?
I
Florida or something this
don't
time?
know, but he's always like got stuff to do. Yeah. And he's the only one that doesn't have kids besides myself. So, like.
Yeah, we got to get him back on here.
Yeah. He's got no excuse next time.
No.
No.
You know what? I'll just show up at his house.
There you go.
With a laptop and a headset.
And say, hey, we're recording today.
Yep.
Have no excuse. So you can reach Rob on Twitter at Rob Krieger. I'm at Mike Myers Brunch. And Joe is Iowa's Joe. Chris is no longer on Twitter. So good luck with that. And we should be back in 2 weeks, I think. Or maybe not. Good.
No?
Why? Well, unless you guys can, maybe you can get Chris and go.
Okay.
Because I think I'm going to be in Albuquerque that week.
Oh, Albuquerque. Yeah.
That's right. That's going to be our future home where we both get to hang out.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Much better weather than Buffalo, New York.
Look forward to that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. All right, well, take care, Rob, and we'll see you hopefully soon.
Yes, have a good rest of your day.
You should go to Baltimore. Think about it.
September?
I have to look at the exact dates, but look it up and think about it. I think me and Barb are going for sure.
You're going to Baltimore?
Bill is going. Yeah, because he couldn't go to Heroes this year, so we're switching it up.
Okay, so this would be the year.
Yeah, it would be his first Baltimore for sure.
Wow. Okay.
But I used to go to Heroes in Baltimore. So they're both good.
I'll look it up and me and Stacy will talk about it.
All right. Take care.
All right. Have a good weekend.
All right. You too. Bye.